guys, do you see any nutrient-dense soil around here? Because here comes the Rooted in Health podcast. Bringing you all things health and wellness since 2021. What's up, guys? Big Brian C. here with the Rooted in Health podcast. For your listening pleasure, hope you enjoy it. Today we're speaking with a Leanne Feliciano. She offers a variety of services. She basically, in a nutshell, combines shamanic practices, so ancient shamanic practices, with more modern clinical hypnotherapy techniques. And she integrates plant medicine and some other type stuff. She's really cool. She's awesome. We had a great chat. You guys are about to listen to. If you want to get to know her more after the chat, if you're intrigued, as I think you will be, you can find her at sacredwildwoman.com. Again, her name is Leanne Feliciano. But the website is sacredwildwoman.com. And I'll say that again. The end of the show. She combines shamanic practices with modern day hypnotherapy techniques. She offers services like shamanic hypnosis and transpersonal hypnotherapy, shamanic healing, intuitive readings, recovery, spiritual coaching, individual and group sessions, exploring past lives. She also conducts ceremonies such as earth medicine, ancestral clearing, home and property clearing, soul retrieval, plant consciousness ceremonies, which I'm really interested in that one. I'm interested in all these, but that one sounds really cool. Cord removal, releasing ceremony, and a healing Olympia, as well as a couple other. She's got quite a menu there. So she's really cool. She's very spiritual, very in tune with her spiritual self and the spiritual aspects of this world and this universe, which remain mysterious. The shaman thing is interesting. You know, when I think of a shaman, you know, I think a lot of people will think of, you know, a Native American, perhaps, you know, here in North America, South America, with, you know, a headdress made out of feathers, you know, maybe banging on a tambourine, doing a little dance, maybe chanting, you know, eyes rolling in the back of the head, medicine man type thing. But even if you don't necessarily believe in those spirits per se, like actual entities, spirits being actual entities, I'm with you. I mean, I don't know. Maybe spirits are actual entities. I don't claim to know any of this stuff, but I am strongly on team energies we can't see, energies we can't pick up with any of our senses. I just think, from what I can, my intuition tells me there's energies and they're all over and they're flowing through all sorts of things, maybe everything. But I don't know if they're necessarily like beings. You know, I think human beings tend to model our ideas after ourselves. Like, you know, the Christian God is, you know, he's a guy, he's a man with a beard. And perhaps the same thing is true of ghosts. Like, we, you know, the classic model of the ghost is just, you know, basically a person that has obviously died, but they're still a person, but I guess they're transparent and they are invincible. They can move through things. Again, that's modeled off. That's just kind of us looking at our, like, grabbing that idea of just us, like a ghost version of us, a spirit version of us. So perhaps there's truth to that. Perhaps there are spirit entities. I have no idea. I can only speculate. But I definitely think there are some energies flowing around that we can tap into. So even if you don't, even if you're turned off by all the magic and the hype and the hubbity bubbity, shubbity fubbity, flubbity flu, hibbity bobbity boo, that's fine. There's still a ton of value to be had here. This is about, on a practical level, tapping into the subconscious mind and leveraging that power, because so much of what we do, like 95 or probably 99% or more of what we do, is on autopilot, run by our subconscious. So we don't have to actively think about it and be present with it. Like, have you ever driven home and all of a sudden you're home and you're like, oh my gosh, how did I get home so quick? And you weren't even really thinking. You were maybe listening to music or thinking about something. Something's nagging on your mind. It's because you've been driving for so long. It kicked. Once you get used to it and you develop a habit and your brain knows how to do it, it kicks. Your subconscious takes over. It's like, okay, I got this. That's autopilot. Your brain's autopilot. So oftentimes, to change habits, to change ways of thinking, to release ourselves from old energies, old traumas, all kinds of things like that, it is extremely valuable to tap into the subconscious. So I think it's an absolutely beautiful blend, what she's got going on here. It's more complicated than just shamanism plus modern day hypnotherapy, but that's kind of how she sort of brands herself and sort of in a nutshell describes what she does. So she's really incredible. You can feel her energy when she speaks. She's got this amazing reverence, and she's just very connected, and she's just real. You can talk to her about anything. So I hope you guys enjoy our chat. I'll quit yammering on now. I love you guys so much. Thank you for coming by the show. Won't I come back and say bye-bye? Ta-ta for now.
Hello.
Good morning, Miss Leanne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How was your Samhain, if I'm pronouncing that right? Probably not.
Samhain.
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 Samhain. Okay.
Yeah. I've pronounced it wrong often myself, actually.
It's easy to do. It's an old Celtic word, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Leanne and I were emailing a bit, and she told me to have a happy Samhain. So it's an old Celtic. I looked it up. It's an old, I guess it's one of the four fire festivals they have. And it helps celebrate the dead and ancestors, but also helps usher in the harvest and the dark half of the year, as they called it.
Correct.
Pretty interesting.
It is.
Very cool. Well, welcome to today's conversation on the Rooted in Health podcast. We are joined by Miss Leanne Feliciano. Now, do you go by Feliciano Vreeland now? Did you recently get married?
I actually got divorced, So I go Feliciano.
Okay, so Leanne Feliciano. Miss Feliciano is a shamanic practitioner, a certified master hypnotherapist, a certified peer support specialist. And so what you do is you use this wide range of modalities and methods to blended together to help people, right?
I do. Yes.
And you have your own business called Sacred Wild Woman. That is your avenue. That is your platform. So
that is my
platform. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Leanne.
Oh, there's a lot to tell about.
Where'd you grow up? You know, where were you born? Where'd you grow up? Have you always been sort of a spiritual kind of flower girl? Or
No. Well, yes and no. So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina when I was a teenager. So I was, I would say that I was a misfit for a very long time. Always went against the grain, and struggled in childhood. I had a lot of trauma issues that happened as a kid, and I also had this thing that I had special gifts, so I didn't understand it. It was very confusing, along with having adolescent and hormonal issues with, you know, being a teenager. And so, you know, I would see spirits, and I knew things that other people didn't know. And I was considered strange. And so I hid that for a very long time until I became a little bit older. And so I was a nomad for quite some time, traveled all over the East and South United States. And then I stayed in Charlotte, where I, you could say, found myself.
Okay. How old were you when you moved to Charlotte?
I was about 15.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And you were raised in Brooklyn, huh?
Yeah.
Very cool. I've always wanted to go to New York. I haven't made it out there yet.
It is a great city, very lively, but you could never pay me to live back in New York ever again.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to live there, but I just want to go and visit it. We were supposed to go in 2020, but the whole COVID thing, it wasn't worth it. So I did go to D.C., Washington, D.C., which was cool because my girlfriend's sister lives there. So we still had a good reason to go there. So neat town, really neat town. Still have a lot of great exploring place to do in that part of the country. But I can totally relate with you. I felt sort of a outcast. I was a bit of a lone wolf. I didn't see spirits or ghosts or anything like that. But, I was a military brat. I traveled around a bit and I was under socialized or something. At some point I was unable to make friends and I kind of became a social outcast. So I can relate to you on a lot of that. That's how I felt growing up. In regards to your training and all your certifications there, what institutes have you studied at for all this fancy hypno shamanic work?
So I began exploring, my metaphysical journey was like around 16 or 18 years old. And I started with Reiki. I started in 2007, 2006, and started my journey with Reiki. And I got certified there. And I got my certification as a Reiki master by the woman by the name of Linda Backus. And then I went on this journey of self-exploration, and I knew that I was supposed to be of service. I knew that I was this healer. And what I didn't know was that I had to do my own healing work while I went into this journey. And so, I was like, well, what do I want to be when I grow up? And so I stumbled upon this school called Southwest Institute of Healing Arts. And so that's where I got my degree in occupational psychology and with a concentration of holistic practitioner and hypnosis. And that wasn't enough. My heart was still looking for more. And I started initiation with the Yoruba tradition, which is a West African tradition. Some people call it Santeria, and that didn't feel right. And so I stumble upon my teacher, who's Robbie Warren now, and she became my shamanic teacher. And she taught me about the spirit world. And she is with Otter Dance School of Earth Medicine. And I'm also her apprentice. So I've studied with her for about 5 years and went through an initiation there, and then got my certification training with Southwest Institute of Healing Arts, and then I'm affiliated with the National Institute of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists, where I then got my Master of Hypnotherapy certification with also the Life Between Lives certification, which is by the author Dr. Newton. He's got an institute. And so there's that. And then I studied with Pam Montgomery, who is a plant healing. She is like the plant whisperer. very much known for that. And then with Karina Woods, who's the founder of Southeast Wise Women and the Red Moon Herb. And so I've studied with her in working with the herbs. So it's a plethora of things. And then, you know, because I work in recovery, I am a recovery coach. I got my certification in as a peer support specialist. So I could incorporate all of the things that I have in order to serve my clients in the best way possible.
Just to clarify for our listeners, you're talking about substance abuse recovery, right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Well, you have such a great spectrum of training, and sounds like you have some really great mentors. That's interesting. I find that fascinating that you looked into Santeria. The only thing I know about Santeria is from the Sublime song. There's a crystal ball involved, I guess.
It can be sometimes. Yeah, it can be.
So, So is that what turned you off about Santeria? You just got a bad vibe, just didn't vibe with you, or?
That is like another story, to be honest with you, because it's a long journey that I went through. But
okay, we don't have to dive into it.
To keep it simple, it wasn't my calling. It felt strongly in my heart, and it's part of my roots. However, it was not the path that my guides, I call them my guides, my spirit guides, and where I was supposed to be going. And
gotcha.
That was, and so, you know, we have a house in that area, and my godmother released me from that house so that I could go and practice the shamanic ways.
So this is a little detour, but we'll get back on track. How'd you get the nickname Little Big Thunder?
That is my medicine name. That is what you would call a spirit name that has been given to me by my teacher when I did my initiation with my shamanic practice. And it's, there was a time where I was like, why would you call me the Little Big Thunder? And I mean, you can take that in so many ways. I'm little, and I have a way with me that can be very powerful in a good way. And sometimes it could be pushy. So, and it's a big pop. So I have a big spirit as well with a little body. And so that's what my teacher has shared with me. This little spirit that I have, this little person that I am with a big spirit.
That's really cool. And yeah, you can take that force, that energy inside you that you have, and when you channel it into this stuff, it's absolutely amazing. You can be such a beautiful force. When you let out that, which one's the bad one, Jekyll or Hyde? Is it Hyde? When you let out the Hyde, that's because I've experienced that too, you know. You and I are obviously very different people, but I feel a force inside of me that if I don't channel correctly, it can cause damage and be a problem. Little Tasmanian devil.
Absolutely. And we all have that invoked within ourselves. It's being able to channel it in a way that serves us versus harms us.
How do you go about blending the shamanic universe with hypnosis? Do you have a process for working with somebody, or how do you blend the two?
So typically people come to me because they are either stuck or are finding they're in this place of an awakening. I always call myself the gatekeeper of the awakening, because I help people find their path or get them on the path that they desire. Or if they don't know what they desire, I help them figure that out. And so typically it starts with a consultation. And so I literally use I call in my guides. I call in the spirits. I call in all my team and their team in order to give them the accurate information, whether it is hypnosis, whether it's a cord removal, whether it's a soul retrieval. And I combine a package because I work with the spirit world and I also work with the subconscious. And so it's a beautiful web because not only am I retrieving their spirit or retrieving what was lost, I'm also helping them retrain their thought process, their neurons with hypnosis. And I'm coaching them in the same breath, giving them tools to live life. Because let's face it, most of us haven't been taught how to have tools, coping mechanisms, let alone how to work with the spirit world. And so those are the things that I do to help others to figure that out for them.
So why is tapping into the subconscious mind so important to make real change happen? Why is that so important?
So I laugh because we do unconscious things, right? Like we do things like have addiction or eat unconsciously, or we speak without thinking. And that is in the unconsciousness. We're sometimes conscious of what we're saying, but unconscious where it comes from. And so what I do is it's important because a lot of childhood memories, a lot of behaviors are lodged into the subconscious mind. And it's important because it's where you learn to retrain, rethink your behaviors and going into that place where all change is possible.
That makes total sense. You know, you try to tell yourself over and over, I'm sure we all do it, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this change, I'm going to make this correction in my life. You know, I'm not going to eat junk food, or I'm going to quit smoking, whatever it may be. Try to change the habit. But you just kind of tell yourself on the surface, you know, that's sort of your conscious, you know, cortex. You have to tap into that. And I think that's why so many people have success with hypnotherapy, like when it comes to quitting smoking and helping overeating, because you got to crack that shell and you got to get into that yoke that is the subconscious mind. It's like starting to work on a car without opening the hood. It's like, you know, you might be able to do some work, but you have to lay the groundwork. So step one, tap into that unconscious. You got to set the foundation, right? Set the stage, make a nice little nest where you can go in and you can sort of tweak around in your brain. So that makes a lot of sense. So what type of brainwaves are we trying to tap into?
So the other part I do want to follow that
yes,
up.
Yes, please.
Also, you got to tap into the unconscious, right? But there's also a secondary gain why you consistently do that same behavior. And that's where I help you find out why you do these behaviors, is to get that secondary gain so your subconscious mind will be open to that kind of change. Because if you can't figure out what that gain is, even though you know it's not working for you anymore, mm-hmm. you're going to consistently do the same thing over and over again. We call it insanity.
Yep.
So I'll follow up with the brain waves. So the brain waves are the beta, alpha, theta, and delta and gamma. Let me say that one more time. Beta, alpha, theta, delta, gamma.
Got it.
And beta is the place where you're conscious, where you're awake. You have these reasoning waves. It's where you make logical and critical reasonings, right? Mm-hmm. And then the alpha state is that place of deep relaxation. And this is the place where meditation occurs. Or you can go into this place in hypnosis as well. And there can be change created here. But in the theta state is where you create that change, that subconscious change. And that's where I work. that's where I work with most people. That's a deep meditative state where you've got a light sleep, but you are not completely in that deep sleep where delta is, that delta state. But I don't typically take, I actually don't take anybody to the delta state because then you won't remember anything. And so there's an importance for people to remember what's going on. But typically when I'm in a session with someone, they're like, I don't remember anything. Is it going to work? And typically it will work because your subconscious mind was ready for it to work.
Interesting. So the delta is deeper, and then the gamma, that's the deepest.
That is the deepest form. And there's not much information about it. It's the fastest frequency above 40 Hertz. And very little is known about this state. And so they're still researching the gamma waves, the gamma brave waves. It's like insight wave.
Interesting. It's all very fascinating. I mean, our brains are putting out little radio signals, essentially. Actual energy frequency waves are coming out of us. We forget that. A lot of people don't really kind of have never really thought about that. We are constant. We have all this energy we can't see. We can't hear. We can't see it. So we don't pay attention to it a lot. And just to clarify for anybody who may be having difficulty hearing, so there's beta with a B as in Bravo, beta. That's the conscious. And then right in the middle out of the five is theta. It's with a TH as in the name Thomas. So if you're getting those two mixed up, you got beta with a B and theta with a TH. I just wanted
It's the alpha next.
The order is from conscious to deepest on subconscious is beta, alpha, theta, delta, and gamma. Correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
That's so cool. So your goal is to get into theta and go in there. And at that point you start doing you start calling spirits. Just communicating with spirits, start doing, what do you do? Do you like have a little chants you have them do, or you just have them say things?
No. So typically I don't do your traditional, hypnosis. So typically I will always say a prayer before our session. My goal is it is a client based. When I'm doing hypnosis, it is client based. I am being guided by my client. They are guiding me to their own experience. I am just the vessel, the facilitator to take them to that theta state. And I typically work a lot with past life regression and empowering people and helping with recovery. So those are what I focus on in that space. But I do add prayer before, depending upon what their belief system is. Because again, for me, it's client-based. I go where they want to go, where they're willing to go.
Very cool. So you mentioned past lives. So you'll go in and you'll kind of help clear energies and karmas from previous lives?
Yes. So a lot of times people will come to me and say, Leanne, I've done everything. I've changed my behaviors. I've changed everything that I can think of in this lifetime, and I feel like there's something going on in a past life. Or maybe there is a past life. I don't know. I've always been curious about it. Can we do a session? And typically there is a past life that they have had this karmic pattern that has followed them through their spirit. And so we retrieve that. They do not relive the trauma. And what I mean by that is that the experience can be so intense when they do this past life regression that I will rise them above the experience so that they are just the witness to what was in the story, what happened in that past life. Because my goal is not to re-traumatize someone, it's to empower them and to help them heal from the past wounds.
That's amazing. I kind of want to have one of those sessions with you.
Come on.
Past life regression. Is that what you call it?
Yes, sir.
That sounds very interesting. Yeah. It makes me wonder. Yeah. I mean, what kind of person or what kind of being I was in past lives.
It's fascinating work. I've had some interesting past lives personally myself, and have heard some many fascinating past lives, but I was a Viking at one time, and I had an orange beard, and I even spoke in his voice, or the male voice. It was very fascinating. And the goal was to, because I was afraid of success at one time, and he was a leader. And so that was a very powerful experience. And since then, the pathway has been cleared for me to invoke success and to not be afraid of it. So it's powerful work.
That's awesome. That's where the big thunder comes from, folks. That's the origin. We just found it. You were out there pillaging and conquering new lands, huh? Back in the... When did the Vikings reign? From like 300 to like 1000 AD, something like that?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So are you able to kind of do this on your own? Like, or do you need somebody when you're doing it for you? Are you able to tap in yourself and kind of have a solo woman mission and discover and examine these past lives? Or do you work with somebody when you're doing it for you?
I always say every healer has a good healer. So whether or not I'm doing my own work, you know, I can only go so far with myself, and sometimes I need help. So if I need to do a past life, I will go to one of my colleagues and ask for one, because that's what we do in order to continue doing healing work. We have to do our own healing work. So to answer your question, I have others help me.
So you said that's one you do quite frequently, the past life regressions. What else? What are some of your other popular services?
My other popular services are are cord removal, soul retrievals, life between lives, plant medicine work, empowerment. I have an empowerment package, and that entails everything that we're speaking about, and ancestral work. So those are my top things that I, services that I do. And, they're big work. And most of my clients come to me because they're ready to do the work. They're ready to change. They're ready to be empowered and to, create change in their own lives.
Yeah. I have a feeling when someone works with you, especially one-on-one, it's going to take you to perhaps some very uncomfortable places, maybe some place, you know, in a sense it makes you look in the mirror and examine things perhaps you don't want to look at. You might, you know, might discover some things about yourself that make, you know, might scare you. Would you say that's accurate?
That is accurate, but here's the thing. You don't do it by yourself. That's where I provide that support. That's where, you know, I don't do these services and not provide aftercare, because I believe wholeheartedly that aftercare is essential, especially when things come up like what you just spoke about. It is so important that people, and if for those of you who are listening, if you don't have someone who isn't holding that space and isn't giving you that aftercare, find someone else. Because it is very important to have aftercare after these deep, profound experiences happen.
Yeah, it's like a very raw experience, and you need to nurture that. Yeah, you really need to nurture yourself and make sure you have those around you who are going to nurture you and have your best interest in mind and know how to nurture you, such as yourself. So that's about what I expected to hear. I want to ask you about cord removal. I read a little bit about that online. It's basically kind of disconnecting yourself from some energy that's been tethering you. That's just obnoxious, but not just obnoxious. It's nagging. It's affecting your mental health. It's holding you back in certain areas of your life. What's up with the cord removal process? Talk to me about that.
That is like my number one service that I offer, actually.
I could use it. Jeez Louise.
So you spoke about it very, very well. It's the tethers that we have from people, even from our past. I've had people who have had a cord with their mechanic. And
guy overcharged me 10 years ago.
Exactly what you just said. And she said, oh my God, how did you know that? I don't know. I just trust that spirit's telling me these things. And it was in her solar plexus because it messed up and messed with her self-esteem and her self-worth because she had to put a lot of money in it. And so what it is it's like having, like you have an umbilical cord with your mother, right?
Yeah.
And that's energy. And you were fed from your mother for 9 months and then the cord gets cut. Well, you still have that energy with that person. And that's where I completely remove. I don't cut cords. I remove the cords. And the other part is up to you to allow those cords to be removed. And what I mean by that, like people have reported a significant change where their partners that have viewed them differently or they have thought differently about other people. I've had people's fifth grade teacher come up or their professors or their best friend that hurt them. And they didn't even know that their energy was still linked to that, which was connecting to their relationships in this right now in the present moment. And they've had profound change happen based on these cords being removed.
Yeah, I can see why that's so popular. I mean, I've noticed my brain obsessing about relationships, people. It's like for no good reason. It's just like, how did this get stuck in my brain for whatever reason? So that's highly valuable. So
it really is. And it's powerful work because people have such, I've had men and women have such emotional, profound experiences, and even ones where they looked at me like, how did you know that? And no one knows that. And so it can be daunting, but also freeing at the same time because that energy is no longer there.
Yeah. We often forget we have to go in and we have to do the work. We have to work it out because we can't just snap our fingers and say, I'm going to be super duper positive and just stop it. I'm going to stop all that nonsense. You have to work it out. You can definitely operate from a place of positivity and love. That's, I would suggest doing that. But I mean, you're still going to have that stuff pop in your brain, whether you like it or not. So yeah, you have to work through it. You have to go through it and you have to work through it with a professional like Leanne.
And also have the tools. You know, I can take cords all day long out of you. I can do a soul retrieval, bring back the pieces to you, do past life regression, but also the tools so that you can create the change because you are the master of your universe. I believe that wholeheartedly. Sometimes you just need some guidance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very empowering when you just stop for a second and just think about all the tools that are available. You know, everything's available. Mm-hmm. You just need to have some faith and put your trust in the universe and put one foot in front of the other, you know, and there's brilliant, well-trained professionals that can help with all this stuff. Like, you know, like not just this kind of stuff, but you know, everything, massage therapy. And if you have a personal trainer, you know, you need all the spiritual, the mental. So I think it's really amazing because, you know, I think so many people are just sort of accepting, you know, this sort of flat kind of empty feeling that they have, and they're not kind of bursting free and rewilding themselves. That's something you talk about is rewilding. I think that's absolutely beautiful. You know, a lot of people might equate that with being a savage or being uncivilized. That's not what it's about. What's rewilding about to you?
Rewilding is finding that voice, that inner voice, the same voice that was guided to you from your indigenous, your ancestors. It's that place where you're empowered and you're able to, your voice is strengthened. It's allowing yourself to listen and really understand your gift and finding the freedom and finding your own gifts that you were meant to have here on this earth. That's what that is. Wild is not crazy. Wild is freedom.
Amen. Yeah, and that's what it's about, and that's so beautiful. Because that's, you gotta unleash your spirit, you know, and not get shackled down by just the BS and the negative energies in this world. You know, you gotta be a warrior, a spiritual warrior, and be free.
Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, in this the world that we live in today, there's a lot of craziness. And so, you know, and there are a lot of people who are awakening and having this awakening that what's my purpose? And that is so important to figure out. You didn't come on this earth for nothing, to just exist. I don't believe that one at all.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. There's definitely a higher purpose. And yeah, you're right. People are waking up. There's just this facade, you know, multiple facades that have just been put up. But you know, to trick us, to fool us, you know, by people with ill intent, people who want to make a ton of money and have a lot of power, et cetera. But the truth is, I believe this wholeheartedly, you cannot stop. You can put up all the facades you want, the worldly facades. They are no match for those energies. That you cannot stop those energies. They are going to thrive. The truth, the light will shine. There's no stopping it, especially it needs the dark. So thank you for the platform, darkness, I guess. Thank you. Thank you, yin to the yang, you know?
Absolutely, because if I hadn't seen my darkness, if I hadn't looked at the things I didn't like about myself, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, it's just certain, I think it's okay to have a certain respect, appreciation for the darkness, because yeah, it's a necessary part of the universe. We may not fully understand it. It's like, why do bad things have to happen? Why is there evil in the world? You know, why do people hurt each other? But I don't, it's, life is, has that sort of brutal edge to it. And the best we can do is, you know, bring it forth with love and light and energy, and that's going to conquer the day.
Pretty much. Yeah. And you know, there, that's why we call it the mystery of life.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. It's beautiful. I think it's amazing. You know, life is all about how you look at it, right? You can be like, oh, this is a pain. I got to like work and, you know, I'm the burdens of work, you know, but it's, work can be a beautiful thing. It's all about how you take care of yourself and your perspective, and life is infinitely fascinating. And it's like, yeah, I don't want to know why we're here. I'm glad we don't have the answers, because it's very interesting. It's very fascinating, you know, and to tap into these spiritual realms and these energies with people like yourselves, that's a beautiful thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
It is. And my teacher, Joseph Rael, beautiful painted arrow, he often says, work is worship.
Yeah. Work is worship. Work is love.
Mm-hmm, because we don't have to think of, you know, when we work, that it is hard and it's going to be hard. Well, if you think it's going to be hard, guess what? It's going to be hard.
Yep. I don't like that term. I do not like that term, hard work. You just got to work hard. Like I understand it, just what it really means is, you know, work diligently, work, be consistent, work, you know, work at a you know, consistently daily. But like this notion that you have to stress yourself out and lose out on sleep and live unhealthily and neglect your relationships, you know, that's toxic. So, but yeah, I mean, doing good works can be an absolute joy. You know, whistle while you work is a thing.
It really is.
I do it all the time.
It is.
Look at the positive and just focus on bringing value to people. I think that's such an amazing thing.
Keyword, value. Love
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the value of plant medicine and how you integrate that into your practice. How do you use plant medicine?
I love plant medicine.
Me too.
I've always been attracted to the herbs, and I would say that maybe I was a witch in past life or something. I had this experience with my partner where we've done these 40-day journeys with plants and to work with the consciousness of the plants. And I had this moment where I realized, and with my teachings and everything that I've been taught, that everything is alive and everything has spirit. And so I teach about the medicinal uses, and I do ceremony with others with medicinal uses, but I also teach about the spirit of it. And because they all have characteristics. Each plant has a characteristic. So I'll give you an example. Cacao. Cacao is about love. Cacao is like, I always call her Big Mama. She's the Big Mama. She's the nurturer. Whereas the plant that I, for my course, is mugwort. Mugwort is about tapping into your third eye, communication, creativity. It opens you up to the spirit world and to the unknown and to the unseen. Two totally different characteristics and have beautiful medicine to share and wisdom that I want others. My deepest desires is for others to see and understand that we are always communing with nature, whether it's with the rocks, the birds, the trees, the herbs, everything, that they all have spirit. And they have something to share, and they have something to tell us. And that's why I had created the course that I created, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, you're speaking of the plant spirit experience?
Correct.
Four-week course. Yeah, we'll chat about that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like what I was talking about earlier, everything has an energy to it. There's energies that we can't see. I can feel, almost see the energies coming from trees. Maybe it's because they're moving with the wind, but trees.
I
feel it. I mean, they're living, breathing things. I mean, just because they're rooted in the ground, it doesn't mean they're not alive. I mean, they're very much alive. Everything has energy to it. That's so true. So, do you use muscle testing or anything, or, how do you go about, integrating plant medicine into helping people? How do you kind of figure out what they need?
I do muscle testing, but I do it for other things. Like, is this for the highest good of the person to do a specific, treatment or things of that nature. But usually I trust intuition. And usually when I say something, they're like, yes, that's exactly what I need. So, and if it doesn't resonate with them, I offer them other options. And typically I will either do a shamanic journey for them to meet the spirit of the plant. And we will sit like a tea ceremony. And we either do it in a group setting, or I do it on a one-on-one setting.
So I love that. That sounds really neat.
It's beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful ceremony. And they meet the spirit of the plant, and it gives them wisdom for what they need moving forward.
Wow. I definitely need to do some work with you. That sounds incredible. There's a few plants that we need to go talk to.
And it's really as simple as that, is talking to them and just listening.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So is that part of the plant spirit experience?
It is. And it's so much more, because it's a 4-week journey, and you, at the end of the 4-week journey, we sit in ceremony with the plant mugwort. You receive a package so that you can have your own personal ceremony at the end of the course. But you learn about what plant consciousness is, what the plant spirit world means, what the medicinal use for mugwort is. We talk about our five senses, right? But do we really tap into them? We use them every day, but I help you to take a deep step further and to tap into your senses and the subtle energies. And it's interactive, where you also learn to create your own altar, and you learn about the difference between ceremony and ritual, and you learn to dream with your plants. And, it's not just about the plant. It's about diving deeper into your knowing. It's diving deeper into connecting with yourself and nature around you as well.
Absolutely. Well, this mugwort has me interested. I've heard of it. I don't know a lot about it. I know a fair amount about herbs, but that's very interesting. When you say third eye, the pineal gland, right?
Correct.
Yeah. If you don't know what the pineal gland is, it's a little gland kind of size of an almond or so. It's like kind of in the right smack dab in the middle of your brain, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. And haven't scientists, isn't DMT created in the pineal gland? Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what DMT is, do you know what it stands for? DMT? I
can't remember.
Doesn't matter, but it's a substance, has a nickname, the God particle. It's used as a drug too. I'm not quite sure how it's consumed. I've heard a couple things. I've never done it personally, but your body also, your pineal gland actually creates it. And it's thought to connect us to the spirit world. So when you are experiencing these type of spiritual interactions with Leanne or whoever it may be, maybe it's by yourself, you know, good chance your brain, your pineal gland is releasing DMT. And yeah, there's a lot. Is that responsible for creativity as well? You mentioned creativity. Does creativity happen there, or
it can? Creativity usually happens in the sacral and sacral chakra and the solar plexus, but it inspires creativity.
That makes sense that it would, if it kind of tunes you into that. Now, I'm gonna take some mugwort. Yeah, because, you know, who doesn't want to be more creative? And yeah, I mean, not just to be creative, but it feels like you'd get sort of a sense of peace and enlightenment if you're exercising. And if you have because a lot of people don't know, but your pineal gland can get calcified by fluoride and other harmful heavy metals. They get, you know, they get stored in your pineal gland, your thyroid. So there's methods you can do. You can take herbs like mugwort. And, I know there's a lemon juice, something about citric acid can help decalcify your pineal gland. So you caught my interest with that one, with the mugwort.
And in the indigenous culture, I'm a carrier of the pipe, which is a rape. And it's actually tobacco that is grinded. And in the indigenous cultures in South America and Mexico and Central America, they will put the tobacco up the nostrils to decalcify the pineal gland.
Really?
To open it up. Yeah, it's a very powerful way of opening up your third eye, but that's also a plant, you know, it's it's done in a ceremonial way. So there are many ways, many methods to opening up your pineal glands. However, it's less, the mugwort is definitely less abrasive.
Our listeners have been dying for a reason to shove tobacco up their nose. So thank you. I know I have. I mean,
that was not my intention. Not my intention at
just,
all.
Just get a couple of camels and shove them up there, folks.
No, nope, don't do that.
That's
don't
not how that. It works. So, she doesn't recommend that. I don't recommend that. Don't do it.
No, don't do it.
So, do you know? Are you familiar with snuff?
Yes.
So I imagine snuff wouldn't provide the same thing because it's processed to death, and Lord knows what chemicals are on it. That's interesting. Do you know how they prepare the tobacco? Cause I love trying new stuff. I might want to try this. Is there like some you can buy or?
It's something that you have to find with the indigenous people.
And it's like tied to the ceremony. I can just like shove tobacco up my nose.
It is very tied to ceremony. You have to. I mean, I can do it myself because I have my own medicine to do this, and I have been trained to do it. But I would not recommend people just doing it up just for kicks. It is something to be taken very seriously and in a ceremonial way.
Do you grow your own tobacco?
I do not. I live in the city. I actually buy it from, I buy what you call mapacho, which is a tobacco that is grown in Central America. And that is the purest essence of tobacco. It has no preservatives or anything. It is specifically used for ceremony.
Gotcha. They process it a certain way?
Yes. They barely process it.
Right. I would imagine. Yeah. It's pure. Pretty much raw. I mean, do they dry it?
Yes, it's dried. You roll it up as leaves and you dry it individually. It's a very big process. Matter of fact, I had one of my, who's a shaman. She was doing that while we were in ceremony at one time. And it's a very big process and it smells very strong as it's drying.
Wow. Might have to watch a YouTube video on that or something.
That is not a bad idea.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Yeah, tobacco gets a really bad rap, but if used properly, you don't get all addicted to it, it's not that bad.
Well, I stopped smoking cigarettes doing ceremony with tobacco.
That's wonderful.
And because tobacco is one of the first medicines that the Native Americans used, and it has been misused for centuries now, and what its initial use was for blessings, and it's used for the highest form of prayers, and the natives would use it to invite other tribes in and as a peace offering, and so it's misused and has so many chemicals now, but. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a very powerful ceremony.
It's just like food. It's just been sort of abused and kind of perverted in a way.
Absolutely. And that's what it shared as well. The medicine shared that, is that it was misused. And if you use me properly, I will gift you with much. And if you use me with blessings, I will bless you with the prayers that you offer. And that's what it says on a regular basis.
Do you know if the nicotine is at all responsible for any of that action in the brain?
Oh, I would imagine so. Yes, it's the nicotine. It's one of the most addictive, other than drugs and alcohol. It's highly addictive. But I would say that the chemicals that have been added over the years are what causes the habit.
Yeah. And, cigarettes, tobacco in general is one of those things that I use occasionally, but I never got hooked on. I've gotten hooked on alcohol and other things, but I've never really was a steady smoker. It's kind of interesting, but, I do enjoy, an American spirit here and there or a cigar, like a good coffee flavored cigar.
I appreciate a good cigar here and there. Definitely.
Yeah. That's so cool. We're definitely going to have to talk more. I'm going to send you some stuff. I'm going to send you a little package because that's what we do over here at Barlow Herbal is plant medicine. And we have some very unique, very powerful things. So, yeah we're going to hook you up, maybe give you a rash, a lomatium rash. Does that sound fun? I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So, we'll link up and I'll get your address later. But what would you say is your mission statement at Sacred Wild Woman? What is it you're trying to do to help people over there?
Like I said before, Brian, it's to help people find their freedom, to empower them, to find their purpose, and to truly... free them from the past stresses and emotional, mental, and physical traumas. That's, and to return you to the truth of who you are, your true nature.
Kind of help people unshackle themselves from past traumas and past energies and It's those things kind of shackling you to living your best life and freeing your spirit.
Absolutely.
Do you have sort of a long-term vision for Sacred Wild Woman?
I'm in the talks of teaching in Iceland next year.
Wow.
So one of my biggest things is wanting to teach around the world. And again, I'm going to be teaching with my teacher in Iceland next year and doing a lot of virtual courses and, you know, traveling, because I feel like the world needs this, not only plant medicine work, but the work that I offer.
That's beautiful. So you want to hit the road and just work in different countries and different places in the U.S. And that sounds like a lot of fun.
And continue helping people and guiding them and change, creating change, helping them create their own change. Really, it's not about me changing them. It's about helping them create their own change.
And we mentioned that you have a 4-week course that's available now, right?
It is. The course starts January 18th and enrollment is open. And so there is,
January 18th, you said?
Mm-hmm. It starts January 18th and you get a biweekly call with me and all the support you need. It's for those who are new, who are intermediate. And you know, it's interactive and you can do it anywhere in the world and, you get a lot of support with that. And, there are payment plans. So if financially that is an issue, that definitely can be worked out as well.
Yeah. I think I looked at it. It's pretty affordable. It's like $297.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. It's not bad at all. That's seems like you get a lot of value there. You have a ton of other great content on your website, which is sacredwildwoman.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. That's where you can find her, folks. Sacredwildwoman.com. Probably check her out on Instagram and Facebook, I would imagine.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Leanne. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
This was a blast. And, you haven't heard the last from me. I'm going to talk to you some more.
So, I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you take HSA? I got an HSA account just dying to get some spiritual work done.
Nice. I don't think I know what that is, actually.
It's a health savings account card. It's it's like a Visa debit card.
I can work something out.
It's fine. I have other methods of payment. But yeah, thanks, Leanne. It's been a blast.
It's been a blast. Thank you so much.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
You too.
All right. We'll be in touch.
All right.
All right. Take care, Leanne. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our conversation. Go ahead and reach out to Leanne at sacredwildwoman.com. She's amazing. Great energy. Love you guys. Adios for now. Smile. You ain't dead yet.